Chris.
Marcus.
We are back. It's a little pocket awareness. You guys already know to do. Follow us on Twitter, ALPA_QB1. Follow us on Instagram, ALPA_QB1. Follow us on Facebook, A Little Pocket Awareness. Right there on Facebook. And you guys already know to do. Hit the subscribe button on iTunes and Spotify and wherever you can find podcasts. So we are back. Little hiatus. Had to get my quarterback list done. I'm done, guys. I finished today. The back end was a struggle. I'll tell you that right now, guys. I love you guys. Just to say that. I almost quit a couple times. I almost got to that point. You get to the Sam Darnolds, you know, and you just, and it's like, where does he go from there? You know, because he's not young anymore. Yeah, I can't see like a Zach Wilson. I see him struggle like a Davis Mills. I'm like, there's potential. I can see something. And you get to a Sam Darnold, you're like,
it's over. It's over. He's killing our QB ranking for that college class. Thanks, Sam.
Man. All right. Not a lot going on too much. I mean, we got some
Well, we got some stuff going on. We got to talk about Kyler and his contract, because he doesn't watch nearly as much film as you do. You know, he watches the same amount of film that I watched at a Division III level. Let's leave it at that. And we're gonna get to him. We're gonna get to some words said by a GM about his quarterback. And already an announcement of a starter that was declared for another organization here. We're going to do that first, and then we're going to kick off with your list. Marcus has given us 32 through 37. We're not 37. 32 through 27. We're not all this. There's no 40 quarterbacks here that we're talking about. There's 32 teams in this league. There's 32 starters, all right? There's some guys that should be starting, and there's some guys that shouldn't be starting. And Marcus is going to give you his worst five quarterbacks heading into this brand new season.
Whew. Man, they're gonna be mad at me about one of them. I just know that. But I think we already discussed that a little bit.
I think there's been a little foreshadow.
Yeah, for sure. There's a little foreshadow for that one. But let's get to it. Let's get to some of this stuff, man. Let's get to some of this. Let's get to the funny part of this, because Kyler Murray, he got paid 5 years, $230 million, $160 million guaranteed that he can get, $105 guaranteed at signing. So he's a $100 millionaire right now. He got $105 guaranteed at signing. I still think he could have played baseball and made more money, but that's my opinion.
I did like what Steve Kime said. What? Somebody asked him when they did the presser about the contract, does that mean we can finally put to bed the talks of Kyler Murray going to play baseball? And Steve Kime says, did you see the Oakland Athletics organization? They aren't paying anybody the type of money that Kyler just got with his current contract with the Cardinals. So Steve Kime did a great job of answering that by basically destroying the Oakland Athletics organization by saying they ain't paying anybody this kind of money.
Yeah, but I mean, that's what free agency for, and the Dodgers are. I'm just saying. So
hey, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. Hey, baseball is definitely different. Baseball's definitely different. That is a fully guaranteed contract in baseball.
Fully guaranteed. $41 million a year. I mean, is Kyler going to see that? That's what you have to get to. Kyler has $105 million. He's basically, so what is that? So throughout his contract,
5 years, $105 million. Was that? What's that?
$25 million.
$25 million a year.
$20 million.
Maybe. If he plays out the whole deal.
Exactly. If he plays out the whole deal. So, but the money's cool. We gotta get to the funny part here, Chris. 4 hours of tape requirement outside of the facility. They're going to be tracking it on his little surface. You get the little iPad, whatever, I don't know, Amazon, whatever the hell they use, whatever technology they got to go in there with the tapes.
Yeah, that Surface, that Microsoft Surface.
Yeah, that Microsoft Surface. They're going to be tracking his Surface and making sure that he's getting in 4 hours of tape outside of playing quarterback.
Not 4 hours a day. This is just 4 hours weekly.
Weekly.
Yeah. Shoot, Marcus. Man, I watched more film breaking down our previous week's games. That was my God, that was almost 20 years ago on these little crappy VCRs. I mean, we just started using DVDs. We were starting to get nice and hip with the technology.
Yeah.
Didn't have no Surface Pro to just kind of keep around and watch tape. Marcus, I didn't play at any high level at all. And
I'm dying at this. So, Pat McAfee, he had a segment about it, and he talked about Peyton Manning, of course. You know, Peyton Manning,
yes,
crazy guy. And Peyton Manning, he couldn't answer the question. Pat McAfee asked him, how much tape do you watch during the week? And he's like, I don't know. He started naming off everything that he watched. So he watches every third down reel, every red zone reel. Then he watches every single defense play that they run at least three times. Then he watches then he watches like some other part of the defense. Then he watches their third down reel. Then he watches their red zone reel. And then he watches, yeah. Right? Yeah.
That first part you were talking about was just the Colts first down package, third down package, red zone package. He wasn't even talking about what he watches on the defensive side of the ball. And then the teams that they've played against that were in common, mm-hmm. and how they played against those teams on first down, on third down, in the red zone. Oh, my God.
He watches every game that they played, too. He watches every game.
Yeah, every game of that season, any game that they played. Like, if they played against each other previously in previous seasons, he goes back to those. Like, Peyton's doing at least 20 hours a week. Bare minimum.
Rich Gannon said 12. He's like, if to be a successful quarterback, you need at least 12 outside of the facility a week. He said,
Peyton Manning has a film room off of his bedroom.
Rich Gannon was so triggered. He wrote a blog post about it. Rich Gannon was pissed.
I'm pissed. That really bugs me. I mean, That's that sheer athleticism. That's what pure athleticism gets you.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, when you get to later on in the year, it's important to know where, you know, everything is, man. I mean, we broke down that one play where he threw that pick for that whatever, that pick six or whatever against the Rams. I mean, that's all preparation, because you should know the Rams don't play cover two. So if you know the Rams don't play cover two, I mean, they're a cover four team. They rarely play cover two. So why are you expecting to hit a cover two honey hole against the Rams? But that's the type of thing. That's preparation. Because if you prepare, you would know they don't run that much cover two. And it's probably not cover two. It's probably something else. It might look like cover two at first, but it's probably not. And then you're double clutching. And then you're getting sacked. And then you're throwing the ball in the air. It's a pick six. And then you get embarrassed. So
he was quite literally just letting his coaching staff do that work for him and just listening to it during the week in preparations and getting whatever he can get in his ear from Cliff Kingsbury live in the game before they shut off the microphone and the helmet.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, of course, the New York Times quote, he's like, yeah, I just see the game. You know, he's like, I see, like, he's a savant. That's basically what he said. Like, I'm a savant, so I just
dude, that kills me. That I mean, that makes me angry. That makes me angry, Marcus. That makes me Rich Gannon angry to write a blog about it.
He did, bro. Rich Gannon was triggered. I'm like, man, he did like a video post with it. I'm like, damn, Rich. Rich, because he's an intense competitor, so he was like offended as for every quarterback that ever existed. Rich Gannon was offended. He was he replied to the tweet.
Fact.
He replied to ER Rapport. He was so mad. It was cracking me up. Some people are like, I'm so amazed that he played that well. I'm like, it's not that amazing to me because, I mean, he has a good team around him. He has the other options.
Yeah.
It's not that crazy. And he's super talented, right? He's a super talented quarterback.
Dude, all he has to do is throw jump. All he has to do, and all he did, if you're watching his film, is he threw jump balls to the sidelines to DeAndre Hopkins, and he came down with every single one of them.
You know, and so.
What do you need to do? At that point, you know what it does for me? If I'm on the Arizona Cardinals, I'm pissed.
Oh, yeah. They already know, though. Don't come on. They know.
You're right. No. They already knew all this stuff. You're right. Everybody in that locker room already knew.
They asked Zach Ertz about it. He's like, yeah, he taught me the playbook, man. I'm like, Zach, that's not what they're asking you, though. Sure, he knows the playbook. Yeah, he taught me everything about the playbook.
Good.
That was a great answer because it's like the normal person is like, yeah, right? See, he knows it. See? Great answer, mm-hmm. Zach. Taught me everything about the playbook, the protections, everything about the playbook. Like, what about the game plan? Oh, Zach. I'm sure Kyler knows the playbook. He's been doing it for 3 years. I'm sure
he knows better know the playbook. He better know
that playbook. He ran in college, right? He went to Texas A&M. He went to that Cliff, right before Cliff Kingsbury left, but they kept running that system. He's run it with Lincoln Riley. So, you know, he could teach you the playbook, Zach. He could teach you the plays. That's for sure. Anything other than that, I don't know. I don't know if he's going to teach you the scheme you're playing against, though. That's what he needs to know.
Right.
I'm telling you that one play, man, that cover two, he thought it was cover two, but the Rams don't run cover two. So that's preparation right there to me. Like you see somebody in cover two, you're like, it's cover two. You know what I mean? But go ahead, Chris.
This solidifies that the Arizona Cardinals at best win one playoff game ever with Cliff Kingsbury and with Kyler Murray.
Maybe he decides to start getting serious now instead of he's embarrassed. This is pretty embarrassing, bro. I ain't gonna lie.
Dude, he didn't care when they were slandering him more about his leadership style. When that leadership all went public.
I feel this is really embarrassing. So I'll tell the story. I mean,
dude, that's embarrassing with the leadership conversation too. Like, he didn't care. He didn't change his ways. Did you see a different Kyler Murray? I never saw a different Kyler Murray.
No.
I don't think this does anything. I don't think this does a single thing.
But it's because think about this. If he has a bad game, like, what's gonna happen?
Oh, he's gonna have plenty of bad games.
He's gonna get
killed all year long, Marcus. He's gonna get killed all year long.
Enough Kyler Murray there. man, that's gonna be so bad. Trey Lance is a starter in San Francisco, which is not surprising.
No, this was the plan. This is the last year that Garoppolo's under contract there, right?
Yeah, it's the
and that last cap year. that cap hit is different this year. That cap hits differently this year. Yes. And there's flexibility with moving him around. And you know, they didn't get to where they wanted to get last season with Jimmy, so they're gonna do it without him now. They spent too much on that draft pick to give Jimmy another year.
I agree with that. And you guys see what Trey Lance got, man. You guys see Trey Lance got. And they have a team around him that they can win with Trey Lance, right? I think, you know, I'll get into my Trey Lance breakdown when we talk about him in a second later on. I guess it kind of
creeps up, but whatever. Well, there you go. There's a spoiler alert. Trey Lance is in 27 through 32.
Yeah. So, I think they can suffice with him, though. I think he's fine, and from that aspect, I don't think he's going to be terrible. I think he's, he's played in this offense in college. I don't think it's going to be that tough for him that way. If they can, because they're going to run the ball a lot.
Yeah,
from Shanahan's, right? They're going to run the ball a lot. They're going to play great defense. They play great defense over there. They got a great defensive line, great scheme.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to play really well around him as long as he doesn't turn the ball over. I think they can win some games. They can make the playoffs with him. Because, I mean, he'll be good in the red zone. He'll get some rushing touchdowns and do all that stuff that, you know, a type of quarterback like him will do year one in that type of system. So, will he frustrate Kyle Shanahan? I'm sure. He'll frustrate the hell out of Kyle Shanahan. I'm sure he already does. And Kyle's not, doesn't want to admit it. is he going to frustrate the hell out of him when Kyle calls that perfect play call and he just, you know, he's like,
misses it.
I don't like it. Or I don't like it. Let me see if I can get something bigger. I don't think Kyle's gonna like that too much, you know. So, but other than that, man, I think they'll be fine. I don't think Jimmy G's that big of a drop off from Trey Lance, to be honest. I have to watch the Texas game. Like, I don't understand why they kept playing Jimmy, you know. But I don't know. That's what they wanted to do, and I mean, it worked out for them. But it was kind of weird that, you know, it wasn't a bad enough performance. It was a good enough performance that, like, okay, he can play in this league. And I guess it's like, it's the Texans, I guess. But it was still like, okay. And, you know, the Cardinals game wasn't very good. So I guess I could see that. But, yeah. I don't know. What are your thoughts, Chris?
I mean, the writing was on the wall last season. I don't think this is news. We got to address it because it's quarterback news, but yeah. You go back to our conversations last offseason after they drafted Trey Lance, what you and I were talking about. We broke down the cap situation on Jimmy Garoppolo and why he was going to be the starter last year and why they weren't going to feed Trey Lance to the Wolves last season. We telegraphed this in previous podcasts in last season. We knew that this was coming. I'm a little surprised that they made it Twitter official as quickly as they did. I would have thought that they would have done more to get Jimmy out of the building first before going to Trey. But I didn't think this was going to play out the way that it did. I didn't think Jimmy Garoppolo would still be on the roster when they make that statement that Trey Lance is their guy.
Yeah. Cause you know, when they made that statement, they really just made it because they wanted to let Jimmy know that he has no shot at being a starter. Because I think Jimmy thought he was going to come in and compete still. And I don't know. I feel like he probably felt like that's his locker room still. I think Jimmy has some kind of. I think he still wants to be the starter there.
And sure.
They
went to the playoffs. They won a playoff game with Jimmy Garoppolo. They should have beat the Super Bowl champions.
Yeah.
I mean, they were quite literally a dropped interception away from winning that game.
Yeah.
It wasn't
fully Jimmy's fault. But the thing is with that though, is, you know, the locker room really liked him too. And I think he did something with the surgery. I think he tried to make it seem like so they can't trade him. He had the surgery really late. He tried to say that he didn't do that on purpose, but come on.
Oh, I see.
He had the surgery really late. And then like,
interesting.
And then he showed up to the facility. And Kyle's like, bro. Come on, man. You know what we're doing. Like, I don't know what you're trying to do. He's just, Jimmy's like, hey guys, Trey can't start. Yeah. No, not you. Not yet. No. So, and he's probably going to go play for the Texans, maybe.
It would make sense. Makes sense.
I guess so. So,
I think we got to throw this little we got to throw this jab in here. This is the last thing that, you know, this is more to appease me because, and you too. I mean, I think it justifies some of the conversations that we've had because you've had to deal with all the Derek Carr slander and the comparisons to this quarterback. And this is an NFC North quarterback that I've been slandering for forever as well. So to hear his own GM say it, the Minnesota Vikings general manager in an interview is letting it know we don't have Tom Brady here. We don't have no Patrick Mahomes here. It's just Kirk Cousins. He's good. but he's not great. You got that immediate quote in front of you? Is that what you're looking at right now?
Yeah, because the best part is that he admits he's nervous about not burning it down.
Mm-hmm.
Kirk Cousins, to me, is just proof that film is always more important than stats. It will always be, because that dude's stats will fool the hell out of you, man. They will fool you.
They do. They fool everybody, Marcus. They fool you, everybody. It's a fact.
Fool you.
It's a fact. People are fooled.
Kirk Cousins has fooled people. Top 10. That's, you know, he's a top 10 quarterback, or he's a, you know, he's just. Oh man, it's just a struggle for me. It's with him. He is like, I guess he's like. Oh man, it's so tough to like rank him too, because it's like. I don't know. I told the guy who taped a lie with that. He's an elite backup quarterback. He's elite
version. Agreed.
He's backup quarterback.
Agreed. Agreed. If there's a guy that I want to come in when my quarterback hurt, Kirk Cousins is that guy. Come on in.
Yeah, man.
Come on in, Kirk.
Give me a full season of Kirk Cousins. My quarterback goes down. I can take that. Full season of Kirk Cousins.
You gonna come play 12 games for me? Cool. You're not my guy next year. You can come in. Perfect. You can come in and. You can manage a ship. Pull a Nick Foles. Yeah. Take me to the Super Bowl. Come on. Pull a Nick Foles. Go get one under your belt. It's not your team, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
I agree with that statement. I like that. Elite backup quarterback. Elite.
Backup quarterback.
Elite. I like it. But yeah, we just had to get that dig in there. One final time. One final time in this offseason.
I mean, that's just what I see when I watch him. Like, man, this is a guy. I mean, he's still a backup. I don't care. he can flip it or assessment. I don't care how much they pay him. I don't care how much they give him, how many stats he puts up. He's literally an elite backup quarterback with great weapons. I'm sorry.
His receivers are mad at him. His coach gets mad at him. And now they got a new coach in there. What is this? Is this year two with their coach? When did they get rid of Zimmer?
Got rid of Zimmer. Yeah, Zimmer was had enough of Kirk Cousins.
Zimmer had enough. His wide receivers currently have had enough, and now his GM is a little nervous. His brand new general manager a little nervous.
See, the thing is with the general manager probably wanted to get rid of Kirk Cousins. I'm going to keep it real. Even for him to say that, that means he wanted to. I bet because Kirk Cousins.
They just gave him a brand new guaranteed contract. He ain't going nowhere.
It was after they hired the coach, right? After they hired the coach, they did that.
After they hired the coach, before they brought in the GM.
So Kirk Cousins, he is a coach's quarterback. It's good, you know, if the coaches, they like that. You know, it's a lot of coaches because that's how he plays. He plays like a coach. When he listens to press conferences, he talks about testing windows. He sounds like a coach. Like, yeah, a coach should say that. But you are the quarterback. Test the window. Okay.
Let it fly, baby. Let it fly.
Bother the coach. Make the coach.
Yeah, go to the sideline with a big grin on your face because you fit that. And you looked at that ball after you threw it. And you go, ooh, maybe that wasn't the right idea. But it went through and it's a touchdown. You got it. So you get to go to the sideline grinning your butt off, and that coach is going to be flipping that film back and forth, watching it, and seeing how close that was. And he knows that was a bad idea. It was a really bad idea. You got it in there. 6 points. You get to run by laughing, smiling about it. You're right. That is – oh, Marcus, I've had those conversations. That's fun. When you pull it off, that's fun. That's a lot of fun.
But because I read this one article about him, and he was at a press conference upset at himself that he beat a window. He was like, I shouldn't have tested that. He's like, I should have tested that window. Yeah. That was something, you know, I took a chance there, and I probably won't do that again. Good Kirk, come on, bro. You're playing.
Never let him know when you did something questionable. Never.
He could be my offensive coordinator all day. He can come run the West Coast offense.
Yeah, there you go. All day. Yes. Yes, yes.
Hired. Kirk Cousins hired. Of course, my quarterback.
I agreed. Field, I agreed. Know. Elite. Elite backup quarterback, elite offensive coordinator. Let's go. I'm with you on that. I'm with you on that.
You know what I mean? You know what I mean?
How about that, Kirk Cousins? How about that? You like that? Yeah, I like that. I like that. Go be an offensive coordinator.
Okay. All right, Chris, let's keep
this. It's time. Let's go, Marcus. Let's dive into your list.
All right. So, you know, I like to start my list off with things I learned. Okay.
Perfect.
A couple things I learned from the
okay.
From this. Defensive have caught up to offenses. Okay. That is a big thing that I've learned. And I don't know how this year is going to look for quarterbacks. That's going to be my prediction for this year. I don't know. These quarterbacks are so young.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm looking at these guys. There's not a lot of vets. Like, how many guys are really over 30 right now? If I just counted in my list out. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
I think that's it right there. I think there's only 8 quarterbacks in the NFL over 30 right now.
And when do quarterbacks play best, Chris?
In their 30s. I won't even go as far as they're just in their 30s. Like they're better in their second and third contracts.
Contracts. Yes, like 27. Like 27 to if you're a really good quarterback, he's gonna be awesome after 27. Like ridiculous. I mean, even Aaron Rodgers, I mean, he sat out, but his first couple years he's 27, 28.
Yeah, he didn't play for 6 seasons.
You know what I mean?
The first 6 years of his career were not on the football field.
That was 6 to 4, wasn't
it? I don't know. I thought it was closer to 6.
No, it's 4. No, because he started the first season 08, so he dropped to 5. Yeah, 4, so 3 seasons.
3? It was only 3?
Because
yeah. I doubled it. It felt like forever. That, you know that. You know what it was? You know what it was? Brett Favre took 6 years off my life. That's what he did. He just took 6 years off my life. That's what it was.
Yeah, just think about it. Aaron Rodgers doesn't throw the interception against the Giants, though.
Oh, dude, bro, I don't want to. The Giants always ruin the number one seed for the Green Bay Packers in Lambeau Field. It's just a fact. I can tell you everywhere that I was when that played out. You want to talk about interceptions? Aaron Rodgers hasn't thrown 10 or more interceptions since 2010, Marcus.
Yes,
since 2010. Yes. Oh, I love that statistic. I love that statistic. All right. Tell me what else. What else did you learn?
So that was like the main thing.
That was the main theme.
Quarterbacks, and there's a lot of crazy coverages. I mean, these guys are getting nuts. Just coverages are these days. I don't know what they are like half the time. I'm trying to figure out like, okay, that guy's moving here. That was like cover 3. Oh, then he moved here. Oh, yeah, and then so I can't imagine quarterback. To be honest, I can't. The Titans, I couldn't. Like, they're all.
I couldn't imagine being a quarterback and only having to do 4 hours of film study in a week
with all these coverages. I'm telling you, man, these coverages are crazy, right? So, and you got guys like throwing at Jalen Hurts. And, you know, Jalen Hurts is struggling with it. And so these rookies are coming to the league, especially they're coming from smaller schools.
Mm-hmm. Right?
They're going to be confused.
Mm-hmm.
Really, really confused. And most of the guys that come in and play better are going to be SEC guys because you're going to see a little bit of it. You know, playing Nick Saban and stuff. But, man, I don't know what's going to happen. We're gonna... That's why I see, like, Justin Herbert. So it's 5 and people call him elite is because, I mean, there's never really not a lot of excitement with quarterbacks over 30. So we got to find a young guy to be better than Patrick Mahomes, basically. You know, this is happening here with quarterbacks. That's what I learned. That's the main thing that I learned. And quarterbacks did not play well last year after week 8. Let's just say that.
Okay.
Let's just say that. It was not a great performances after week 8. The best player that played after week 8, I haven't ranked really high, and it's gonna shock everybody.
oh, all right, okay, all right. Well, let's get right to it. Give me number 32.
All right. Well, I started off with, Marcus Mariota, I didn't really watch him, but he's a starter.
He's a starter in Atlanta this year.
He's a starter in Atlanta. You know, Desmond Ridder is behind him. But I think he's going to play in a sneak play for me. He's familiar with, you know, I just think Mariota, with him, he's injury prone because he just does not put his body, he does not protect himself at all. It's like he just refuses to protect his body. He just dives everywhere. It's like he says the ultimate competitor. He hasn't decided to protect his body yet. And then, of course, you know, he always has his problems with, like, post-snap and reading the field.
Yes.
He's always going to be there. And, you know, that really hasn't changed. He hasn't really got better at that. I don't know. Maybe he hits his second wind, you know, with like, Kyle Pitts and stuff like that, and gets better in a system that he's played in before. But, man, it's going to be a road battle for him to become a legitimate NFL starter again, in my opinion. And, of course, just Mr. Trubisky, Kenny Pickett. I think Trubisky's going to win that. Just because he can move the chains maybe a little bit better. But, you know, he's...
Well, I don't think it's a bad idea to give... So you're saying Trubisky's your 31? You're just slotting those two quarterbacks together?
I'm just slotting guys. I'm not ranking them.
Oh, you're not even ranking these guys. So they didn't even make... Not really. They didn't even make the top 32.
No. Well, no. I'm starting at 30. I'm starting at 30, Chris. Because
you're starting at 30?
Yeah, because I only have 30 guys to evaluate.
Okay. All right. So 30 is your number. So those three names that you just listed are outside your 30.
Yes. Right, because they have to be because they didn't play last year, and to be honest, they're backups. So
you're not wrong. They're not even elite backups, Marcus. Those aren't even elite backups.
They're not elite backup quarterbacks. Watson, I did not rank. I just want to say that. I did not rank Deshaun Watson, but he would definitely be somewhere in the top 10. Okay. My worry about Deshaun Watson, of course, is getting suspended. Which I mean.
He's missing 8 games minimum this year.
8 games, right?
Minimum.
And he's going into a new offense. And that's my concern about Deshaun Watson. How well is he going to play when he gets back? Because he's playing in a new offense, you know.
Yes, sir.
So I'm worried about that. And really, that's really it with the guys that are going to be ranked. So let's go ahead and get into it, man. Let's get into it.
So 30, we're doing 30 through 25 is what we're going to do right now.
Yeah, we'll do 30 to 25. Let's do that.
All right, 30 to 25.
30 to 25. All right.
Let's get it.
It's mostly just the young guys. This is basically the rookies that played last year. Let's just keep it real. This is basically except one guy who's not in the 25.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
But my 30th quarterback is Drew Lock. Of course, because Drew Lock, I hope he beats Geno Smith. I watch Geno Smith, and if he beat Geno Smith, Drew Lock should not play anymore. I'm just going to keep that real. I'm going to keep it real with you guys. Geno Smith looks like he's a rookie still. So, Drew Lock, I hope he can beat him out. I'm hoping that. And, you know, from the tape I watched, I thought he was a little bit more, let's say, not as dumb. I don't know.
Not as dumb. Okay. All right. Not as dumb. I like the technical term here. Not as dumb.
you know, there's a football term I was thinking of because I couldn't think of it. So he didn't make as many mistakes. You know, he played within the offense. He didn't hurt the Broncos, per se, right? That wasn't my thing. He didn't hurt them, but he didn't help them either.
He sure as hell did not help them.
He didn't help them at all. So since he didn't hurt them, right, I think that's what Pete Carroll sees. Like, okay, last year he didn't turn the ball over that much. Like, even against the Raiders last year, he had some pretty good throws from the pocket. He didn't make a lot of bad decisions that could let that game be out of hand, right? Because he couldn't run the ball at all that game, right? And it was really all on him. But he basically looked like a quarterback that if you could play defense and run football, and he's athletic enough, you can turn the ball over, maybe you could pull out some stuff with him. Right? Because, I mean, he still has the talent. It's more about him picking up blitzes and stuff like that, which he's still not good at. So, I don't know. You know, maybe Pete Carroll's going to teach him from a defensive perspective how to read the field and, you know, guide him that way. But you got to hope. If you're a Seahawks fan, you don't want Geno Smith to run that bad.
No, no, you don't. No, you don't. Agreed. Agreed with that statement big time.
You do not want Geno Smith to win that battle, man. So this is more me projecting that hopefully Drew Locker beats out Geno Smith. Cause I really feel like he should. Because he's to me, he's more talented than Geno Smith. And I think he played in a similar offense already. Does that make that happen, in my opinion? So,
all right.
Any thoughts on Drew Lock? I mean,
new system. I think you laid it out pretty nicely for what we're going to see from him when we spoke about him earlier in some of these podcasts. A play-action offense, which is going to be even more interesting because now Chris Carson has retired. That neck injury messed him up. So it'll be interesting to see how they handle the running game. I think Pete Carroll's best play is to make this an offense that looked like what it did when Marshawn Lynch was the feature back, get some more play action involved. And you pointed out nicely that Drew Lock had way more success in a play action styled offense versus a straight drop back. So I'm hoping that that works out for him to win that job. And I wouldn't mind seeing Drew Lock having a little success out there, but definitely like him at 30 versus Phil Sims putting him at 40.
Yeah, that's messed up, bro. Phil Sims is me, man. I mean, Chris Sims, whatever his name is. He's me. He's
Chris
me.
Sims. Oh, and I say Phil? I probably said Phil.
Yeah.
I definitely said Phil Sims. Chris Sims. Mm-hmm. Chris Sims, his son, that Longhorn, he put him at 40. But I like what you did there with 30.
All right. Okay. All right, so let's keep this moving. Let's go to you know, this next guy that I know is has a lot of buzz right now because he had one good game. Really, I mean, I guess he had two good games. I'm not going to hate on him too much, but it's Davis Mills.
Davis Mills at 29.
Davis Mills is at 29. Now, we talked about earlier about Jimmy G, who I didn't rank because I don't see Jimmy G starting anywhere. I don't know where Jimmy G is going to go start. I mean, is this the Browns maybe?
He could go start in Seattle. He could go start in Seattle.
But, you know, I don't know where
he's else he goes. So you know, I agree with you. And Jimmy G's not going to Cleveland because they brought in
Cleveland.
They got Brissett that's going to start the year, and Rosen's going to be his backup. They brought in Rosen on a 1-year deal.
Mm-hmm. So I think the Texans really like Davis Mills. They really like him. They like his progress. So I don't know. It's easy for Jimmy G. But I don't know if they're going to go with that. But I think Davis Mills, he has some interesting tape to me. I thought. It was better than I thought it was going to be, but he still looks like he's a third-round pick, playing way too early. I mean, I thought he made a lot of bad decisions, a lot of ugly decisions, and I think a lot of his stats came when they were down 38-0.
That's a fact, by the way. That's a fact where all of his stats came from. Like, his stats all came from being down and chasing, and all that you can do is throw at that point, and that defense doesn't care anymore. That's exactly where his stats came from.
Because that's basically what he watched. I was like, oh, that's a good game. Some good stats. Let me check out that one. And they're down 38-0. Here comes the 2 touchdowns, 300 yards.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. 1,000%.
It happened a lot. Yeah, that happened. I'm like, every game, they're down 38-0 again. You go to Davis Mills, get some 2 touchdowns.
Those defenses don't care at that point, man. They don't care. It's not even starters. No. They're putting in backup corners.
The good game he had, those Chargers game, that's the best game in the bus. They beat the Chargers, and now everybody's watching that game. The Chargers was, you know, trying to get the playoffs, trying to win the division, you know, and Davis Mills, he did play really well, man. He had some great deep balls in the game. Probably his best performance, and then he played well the next week to end the season. Right. I forgot who it was. Yes, but he played well in that game. So he finished the year strong. Right. So there's a lot of buzz going in. I just think, you know, he has a long way to go, like, you know, reading the field.
Mm-hmm.
To be honest, I think he has trouble seeing what he needs to see. But that's why I was a little surprised they didn't give him any competition. Right. Like, I mean, you didn't give him any competition, like, none at all. None? Are you sure about that? Like, are you trying to go for a draft somebody next year? You're like, quarterback class next year? You're like, no. Because to me, like, they should trade for Jimmy G like a long time ago if they're going to do that. Like, why not? You need to get surgery. I mean, he ran a system in New England, so it's the same passing system. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's not really too crazy for him to learn that language. So, you know. But,
Davis Mills, 29. I'm sorry, 29.
Davis Mills, 29. I'm still in shock a little bit that they didn't try to give him no challenge. None at all.
Who knows? I think you're right. I think that is the best bet to get Jimmy G into Houston. That's probably the best fit for him to actually go and start somewhere.
Yeah, man.
I got nothing to say about Mills because you said it for me. All of his stats came when they were down huge. It doesn't count. Doesn't count. 28. Okay. Hit me with that 28.
28. Justin Fields is at 28. I got Justin Fields at 28.
Okay.
And Justin Fields is talented as hell. Okay. He's still the same talented quarterback that I
that's
love.
Why you, that's why you got him at 28 and not behind David Mills.
Yeah, basically.
Still, Marcus is still giving him potential points.
I am. I decided that I talked with somebody. I counseled with somebody. But about potential.
Potential.
And he's saying a lot of the right things. You know, he swayed me. Obviously, he's saying the right things. Sounds like the right guy. Sounds like he's locked in. All right. Because I think last year he had a rude awakening in the NFL. That hey, this is not college. I just can't show up.
And you saw that's what saw that on the tape, did you?
I did, Chris. I saw that. He showed up. Okay. I think he realized that. Because, I mean, later on in the year, he got better. Okay, so I think, like, early on, man, and like the Packers game, the first Packers game at Soldier Field, bro, he lost Allen Robinson at least $5 million that game. Allen Robinson running around his hand up. At least 3 touchdowns. Bro. Allen Robinson, if somebody had Allen Robinson in fantasy, they definitely would have won that week if Justin Fields could see the field correctly. And that was his whole issue. He's like, he has trouble seeing in the field and reading defenses. And it's a big, big issue. He is really, really bad pre-snap. Really, really bad pre-snap.
Oh.
Right now. And post-snap is not any better. You know, he caused a rant by Tom Brady. Remember that rant Tom Brady went about how, you know, about quarterbacks and how they're not protecting their players anymore for the season last year?
Mm-hmm.
He caused that rant because, you know, he didn't set the protections and he has that issue in protections, you know. So he's got to get better at playing the position of quarterback so he can get his get to reach his potential because he's still accurate, man. He still has a great deep ball, still has a great arm. You know, I mean, he still has pretty good pocket presence in my opinion, like a feel for it, like feeling the blitz and avoiding it. He still has that. At those elements, but I just think that a lot of it is just he just got to get better at playing the position of quarterback itself.
Gotcha.
You know,
makes sense.
If he does that, I think he can reach his potential and become the player that he should be. You know, because I mean, he still found a way to make plays last year, but they weren't winning with the same team that Mitch Trubisky won 8 games with. You know, and the reason for that is because he did. Play well, and like we aren't gonna admit that. You know, I saw some guy post like 7 minutes of his clips, and all the throws are from one game. Like, yeah, he has two good games. He has some great throws, and both those teams didn't play. You know, but like they didn't play. You know, yeah. You can find anything for any quarterback, but like as a whole, I think he missed a lot of stuff on the field. Man, left a lot of plays on the field. A lot of didn't. You know, he's not anticipating right now. He wasn't doing that in preseason. He has that long. Delivery too. It's always gonna hurt him. So, he's got to figure it out. He's got to see the field better, basically, quicker.
Yes, sir. Agreed with you on that.
You know, you can't have Allen Robinson running with his hand up, and you cost him $5 million because you literally did.
Yeah. Now he's got a contract that he's trying to play on with the Rams. to earn money next the next season.
Yeah. Man. Yeah. So, but I still think he has the potential because he has some good throws, man. Some great throws. That's some good plays. It's just more about him seeing the field and seeing blitzes and things like that. Because if he never can do that, he's basically like Jalen Hurts, you know?
Ooh.
That's what he would be like. He never develops those things. So he's got to get better there, and then he'll become a better quarterback.
Well, they certainly didn't give him any weapons in the offseason to work with. And that front office, very interesting hires with what they're setting him up with for this year with the people that are going to be coaching him. So it's going to be very interesting to see what happens for him. Hashtag we'll see big time for Justin Fields if he takes a step in his second year. I don't expect it. I don't think that organization is ready to set him up for success. I'm really nervous for his next season.
Yeah, they got Bill Lazor as the offensive coordinator. Ew.
I'm really nervous for him. I'm really nervous for him in year two.
That's not true, is it? It's not really Bill Lazor.
Dude, his best receiver.
Luke Getsy.
Yeah, the Packers. It was the Packers quarterback coach, right? Was he the quarterback coach last year?
Chris. My other observation that I forgot to say at the beginning of this, too many teams are running the damn West Coast offense.
I loved the West Coast offense when I played in it. I loved it. I love timing routes. It gives you so many different options. I'm sorry. I love the West Coast offense, Marcus. I love it.
But just think about this, all right? So if every team is running the West Coast offense, Chris, right? And every team's running the same version.
Well, there's different variations of it, obviously. Like, you can break it up. It's customizable, too. That's what makes the West Coast offense so much fun.
Yes. Yes, but we're all running one version right now. We're all running the Sean McVay version. Or what I would say the John Gruden version. They're all running that one, right? That's the one that they're running. And I think that has a little bit to do with like why a lot of people are struggling, because if you don't have a quarterback that is like super, I don't know, just a upper echelon quarterback, right? Tier two, tier one quarterback. Let's say if you don't have one of those guys, I mean, if you line up in 3x1, this is a side rant. I don't know why I'm doing this, but I just want to make this point. If you line up in 3x1, okay,
3x1. So tell them what do you mean 3x1?
So three wide receivers, right, on one side, and then one receiver on the other side. It not necessarily trips. I'm gonna say 3x1 in a bunch.
Right.
From
you can bunch it. Offense.
But there's only so many route possibilities from that. So if I'm a defensive player, I'm like, okay, they're in a bunch. Okay, I'm probably gonna get a choice route. Probably one of these guys probably get to run a post or a deep route, and one of these guys get to run a short route. So that's how I'm gonna have to. It's just, I don't know. I just feel like from a defensive perspective, I think it's just way too easy.
It's easy. Oh, interesting.
But that's my other, and I think that's affecting a lot of teams, because I think that these guys are just like, okay, 3x1. I played the Rams last week. Matt LaFleur too. He runs the same thing. Maybe I'll just fight. Yeah. Play the choice route. Right. I don't know. Anyways, but back to all my right. list here. Justin Fields. I have Zach Wilson at 27. People are going to be mad at me because I have Zach Wilson in front of Justin Fields. But I thought Zach Wilson played I thought he played better. I'm not going to lie. I think his game against the Jets was really good. If Zach Wilson plays like that, he could be a top 10 quarterback.
Which game?
Eventually.
The Jets. Which
game against the Jets?
Marcus.
No, sorry, Brady. The Bucks.
I was like, you feeling all right? Your brain hurt from watching too much film?
Yeah, it's quarterback spirit, my brain, man. But he played really well in that game. And if he played like that, he kept them in the game. They were in the lead. They were winning. They were beating the Bucks. And they're like, hey, let's run the ball. And then here comes Tom Brady. I'm like, I know you're 24-17. It feels good.
It's Tom Brady, baby. You can't give him the ball back. Can't give him the ball back.
How many games have you won, man? You won 2 games. You think you're just going to I guess the best run defense in the league, just gonna hand the ball off and just go home. No, it's not gonna happen. Tom Brady came back, ruined his good game. Because I think before that, he got really gun shy because I think Bill Belichick scared him to death.
He threw a ton of interceptions early.
I think he only threw like 11 interceptions last year, something like that. But he threw four of them week two.
Yeah.
So he threw seven for the rest of the year. And he was really gun shy, man.
He got hurt too.
Yeah, he did get hurt. But even like after he got hurt, he was gun shy, man. He was scared to throw interceptions, scared to hurt the team. And I think I'm playing Tom Brady this week. He wasn't scared that week, and he just was gunning it and just, you know, showing off his talent. I think he built the pocket a little bit too early, of course, because, he thinks he's Patrick Mahomes or whatever still, or Aaron Rodgers, whoever the people used to compare him to. But I think he has potential, man. I think he has potential to make a big leap.
Well, he better.
If he can.
Second overall pick. He better.
I think he has potential, man. I was if I was a Jets fan, I'd be excited just from
wow.
some of the stuff we saw late in the season.
Wow.
I think he has a potential. You know what I mean? Like, if he could put it together and be like a serious quarterback, I don't know, man. I mean, that AFC East might not be too shabby with quarterback play. So if he can
step Very up, interesting, sir. Very interesting.
If he can, you know? I mean, because honestly, that's what I think about a lot of these rookies. I think they all showed potential. Like, none of them look like dumpster fires. Like, even how bad Justin Fields did look against the Packers. That Packers game, he was terrible. God awful. But Steelers game, he showed a lot of potential. Detroit Lions game showed a lot of potential. You know, so there's still potential there. None of these guys are dumpster fires. They all look like competent quarterbacks. You know what I mean?
Oh, okay.
But Zach Wilson, that's why my thing with him. But he's filling the pockets still a little iffy. I always thought that him coming out, but he's got to be able to trust himself, trust that offense. I think he's got some good players around him too. That he's not good.
They brought him. There's a lot. They drafted really well the last 2 years, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, he's got Garrett Wilson.
I agree with you there.
Elijah Moore is no joke. He's really good on
Elijah
really
Moore. Yep.
So I mean, he's really in a good position, in my opinion, to become successful
and take a leap. I agree with you.
Go ahead, Chris. Go ahead. Say what you say.
No, I was just agreeing with you. I think the roster that they've built around him is setting him up. I mean, it's on his shoulders. In my opinion, it's all on him. He's got control of his destiny. He's either going to be worth that second round pick, or he's gonna bust out. There's no in between here for him. There is no in between.
Yeah, if I was a Jets fan, I'm like 7 wins minimum. Like, you got to give me second year development. Give me 7 wins, right? I think it's a good
absolutely.
Kind of, right? I mean, I wouldn't expect them to make the playoffs. They're still a really young team, but you want to build together. So when you get to that third year, then you got Garrett Wilson in his second year. You got Elijah Moore mm-hmm. in his third.
Elijah in his third. Yep.
Michael Carter, who's a good back in his mm-hmm. third year.
Mm-hmm.
You got that's what I'm saying. So you have a lot of good players around him, but if he gets under 7 wins,
and
that would be concerned.
He's got the makings of a very strong offensive line too,
right? So that's what I'm saying. So if because they got AVT out there,
Elijah Tucker, Becton. Didn't they brought in a big time guard or center? Didn't they? A veteran. Oh shoot! Oh, that's gonna kill me right now.
All right. Well, Chris, let me keep this moving, Chris. Number 26 is Trey Lance. Number 26 is Trey Lance. Okay.
Okay.
Now, Trey Lance, of course, he only had two games. Of course, you count the Seahawks game. I really didn't want to count that one because I thought it was mop-up duty. I always think mop-up duty is always not fair to a quarterback, in my opinion, because he's not really prepared and, your quarterback goes down, you got to go in there. You don't have that timing that you had the week with some of the players that are playing. I think that matters. So, the Cardinals game, he was not good at all. He was pretty awful that game. I thought that he had this one throw where, you know, he made the right read. It was a great pocket move. He made the right read and just overthrew the guy by 10 yards for a pick.
Yeah.
So he has accuracy issues. It's a thing. He has really, really, he has accuracy issues. He's got to get his footwork and timing down with his drop. He's got to work on a lot of that stuff to make sure that he can just be competent accurate. Because right now he's rookie Josh Allen accurate. So from an accuracy standpoint, and that's really his biggest issue, in my opinion. Could he read the field better? 100%. He's also 20. He's like 20 years old playing NFL football. 21 or something. He's younger than Kenny Pickett, and he's about to have his first start or something like that. So he's super young, man. He's young too, and so you really can't expect him to especially playing FCS. Well, what coverage did he see in the FCS? You know what I mean?
Right.
What coverage has he seen in FCS? So it's going to be an adjustment for him to
cover
see coverages.
Cover two, cover three, man.
Exactly. That's it. Cover four, that's maybe. It. Cover yeah. quarters. So he's not going to be, you know, facing these complex defenses either. And that's going to be the struggle for him. Because to be honest, it's like sometimes, like, he knows to read, but it's like he's gun shy. Like, he doesn't, like, he sees it. He's like, oh, man, I'm late. Like, he knows he's late because he's a smart guy. He's smart. He's like, oh, I'm late. Damn it. So then he runs. Okay. And so he's indecisive too right now. Like, some PFF guy posted a video that expected him to be John Elway anticipation. But that was his read and you saw it. But he also saw Bobby Wagner. So he's like, oh, so he's a little gun shy about it. So you could tell he's a cerebral quarterback from that standpoint, that he's not going to be late with the football. And instead of being, because he knows if I'm late, it's going to be worse. So let me try to make a play if I'm late. So a lot of it's not him like turning down stuff. I mean, I said that earlier. I was just joking. But more of it is him like realizing, like, I read this way too slow. It's like, so, and you can see it in his head, like, because you can see him go like this. He's like, oh, no, too late. Let me go find him.
So you see a move. You see his body move. He's going into the beginning of that throw.
Yeah, like that type of stuff. Okay. He's like, oh, man, I'm late. You know, because you can tell he's really smart. That's what I'm saying. It's not like he hasn't picked up the offense, because it's more about him trusting
himself.
He's
just trying to get getting used to the speed. Okay. Mm-hmm. So okay.
Anticipate throws and stuff like that, because that's what I think he wants to do. I think he wants to be on time. He wants to anticipate the stuff. And he wants to be on time all the time. But it's more of like a like he's not sure of himself, and then he's like, "Oh, I'm too late now, so I got to do something else."
Got it.
Instead of just throwing it anyways, like some guys would do.
Yeah,
I'm late. Still, here it goes.
I can get it there. I can fit it in that window, right, Kurt?
Right, Kirk. So those are basically the rookies. I really feel like, just one above that I was more impressed with. I guess. People are so bad that guy's higher, but he just says he's playing a little better. So, I don't care what he says. So let's go 25, though.
All right. Final one.
You know, so. I put Sam Darnold here. And I know him and Mayfield are in a battle, but
you know, they're not going to battle.
I don't know who's going to win that
battle. They're not going to battle. You don't trade for a quarterback like Baker and then battle.
I don't know if he beats out Darnold, though. I don't know if it happens. We'll see, though.
We will. Hashtag we will see.
I Darnold 25. His tape was not very good. I still see where he goes from here. He's really athletic, though, man. He definitely can use his legs. I didn't realize that. It's just to me. It's more. it's just to me. It's just like, you know. This is what happens with guys like him, because they're so frustrating. Like, some plays, like, oh my god, it's great anticipation right there, Sam, and then the next play, you're like, what the hell is that? What the hell is that? with Sam Darnold. There is like,
you know, oh, that was great. Mm-hmm.
Right. So that's what we're at the point of, like, the what the hell is that has not stopped. And we keep getting, what the hell is that? And he keeps making these stupid decisions. Like, I don't know what he's thinking. So I don't know what he's seeing. I don't know, he doesn't see the field very well still. And that's a concern to me. You know, especially in the offense he was in, I thought it set him up really well to have some really good reads and some easy stuff, and he still couldn't execute it. It was just, you know, I can see why they traded for Baker Mayfield. I definitely see why that happened. I can see why they feel like they wanted to move on from Sam Darnold. You know, mm-hmm. the Jets felt very comfortable moving on from Sam Darnold. it all depends. Baker has to improve on his tape, because that was nice to Baker. I gave Baker the benefit of the doubt. I'm gonna be honest with you, Chris.
Yeah, You better have.
I gave him the benefit of the doubt.
Good.
I did.
Good.
Because I was
smart.
We'll get to him next episode. But I'm just saying, I did give him the benefit of the doubt on in my rankings. I did. I was nice about it.
Okay.
Just, you know what? It's 1 year.
Okay.
Right? 1 year. So I gave him the benefit there. But, you know, Sanders, like, in the middle of it, man. He's a bottom tier quarterback, tier four, whatever tiers you want to call it, tier four, bottom tier, bad quarterback. He's bad. He's not good. It's just bad quarterback play. Really, I don't know if you can really even win with him. I mean, he's a bad quarterback, an elite version.
Not the elite version.
He's a tier two backup quarterback.
Tier two backup, not elite, not elite backup. Tier two backup.
He's a tier two backup. You know. Right at seven. If you're ranking him, he's not top five. I'm sorry. You know, because you know, we'll say don't start your whole season. But three games, my quarterback goes down. Give me some Sam Darnold, bro.
Maybe a few.
You know, 17.
Yeah. That's not the number I wanted. Three? Oh, we'll consider it. We'll consider that one. Consider that one. Three? All right, Marcus. I like where you started.
Yeah. It's gonna get funky. Next episode, you're gonna be like, what the hell? You're gonna shock me a little bit.
On the next one?
Yeah, the next one you're gonna get shocked, man. I'll be shocking.
All right.
Some of these rankings.
But it's
film based. I'm just saying, it's film based.
Hey, that's one of them. That's what we need.
And one of them, I'm gonna say, my preview for one of them is that Greg Cosell made me feel a lot better about it. So,
Greg Cosell.
Shout out to Greg Cosell. Yeah.
You're shouting out Greg Cosell.
He made some comments about one of the quarterbacks I have higher ranked than I usually would have thought going into it, and he made me feel a whole lot better about it. So shout out to Greg Cosell. He's gonna break down. Feel guys, made me feel a whole lot better about how I felt about it, because I was really confused. I didn't know what I was looking at. Like, do I not know quarterbacks anymore? I was super, and we'll get into it next week. That's our preview for next week.
I love it. All right, leave it right there. And it might have to be 2 weeks, Marcus. I'm going to Greece.
Okay,
I'm going to Greece. So we might have a little 2 week break here. And then maybe we'll do 10 quarterbacks in that next episode.
The season don't start in September, man.
We do got time. We still got some time.
All right, guys. Appreciate you guys listening. Definitely check out this episode. Don't yell at me about Justin Fields. I know some of you might be upset about that. It's all right, man. Yell at him.
I want to see some comments. I want to see some more ratings on Spotify and on iTunes. Come on, let's turn this up. Let's turn this up as we head into the new season. Yes.
ALPA_QB1 for Twitter, ALPA_QB1 for Instagram, A Little Pocket Awareness for Facebook, and of course hit the subscribe button. Like Chris said, leave some reviews and hit the Spotify download button. Leave reviews there as well. All right, guys. See you later.